You'll open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to begin reading in verse 6 of Matthew chapter 7 all the way down through verse 14. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 6. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. As we're coming to some of the conclusion of the Lord Jesus' teaching here, the Sermon on the Mount, we see in his concluding remarks that there's a real context, and we'll note this over the next few weeks. He's going to talk about two gates, two trees, two foundations. And he's going to really begin to draw these conclusions for us that we'll have a context to understand exactly what he's been speaking of. Remember, this is not a sermon that the Lord Jesus sat down and began to teach. And as he taught it, he went through and just dissected every little piece of it. Sometimes the Sermon on the Mount can be so dissected that people miss the greater, bigger picture. And so the conclusion helps us to draw us back to that bigger picture. We've been taught so far in these concluding remarks to be very careful about how we use our discernment. And discernment can move from a place of genuine discernment or appropriate discernment to censoriousness. Can be harsh, judgmental statements and thoughts that we can move to. And yet in verse 6, the Lord Jesus says, "Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine." There's a perspective here that our proper discernment doesn't need to be wasted upon those who will not listen to it. He's told us to seek him in prayer in right context, because the Father wants to give good gifts to his children. Sometimes we have a perspective of God that he is just completely an irate, demanding, demeaning God. And that's not who he is. Yes, he has laws. Yes, he has commandments. But he has all of that based on his being. He is truth. He wants us to seek him and his truth and ask him to lead and guide us, and for us not to seek guidance from the world itself. This is why he points us in verse 13 to enter through the narrow gate. He's giving us a context to see there's these two different gates and paths. And that's firstly this morning. Jesus spoke of two different gates and paths. He doesn't want us to waste proper discernment before the swine or the dogs, and yet he wants us to trust in him and to seek him. He wants us to seek him rightly. Well, the only way to do this is to understand there's two different gates and paths. There's one gate and one path that's man's way. The Lord Jesus says that the gate is wide and the way is broad. It's a wide, open, well-known, and seemingly free gate and path. And in context, it's really a gate that and a path that everybody's on, left to themselves. Now, you can't extract the limits of the Lord Jesus' teaching here, his illustration. You can't just tease out every single little word and try to make it some context of doctrine and to put it in a perspective of that particular doctrine. He's giving you a broad spectrum here. There's two ways. One way is broad. And that broad way is easy because everybody's on it. It's wide and spacious because it's the way man already thinks. It's not hard to find because all of mankind is walking down that path. It's an easy path. You have to do very little to be on this path. You just have to be who you are as a sinner. Just be who you are and be glad you're who you are as a sinner, and just look to yourself for all provision, not asking, not knocking. One writer says, this path, it has no curb, no boundaries of either thought or conduct. Travelers on this road follow their own inclinations, that is, the desires of the human heart in its fallenness. Superficiality, self-love, hypocrisy, mechanical religion, false ambition, censoriousness, these things do not have to be learned or cultivated. If you've ever been around a little baby, you know that a little baby doesn't need to be taught to think about itself first, does it? What's a little baby going to do? It's going to scream because it wants to think about itself. Why? It's hungry. It needs a diaper change. It's not comfortable. It doesn't want to sleep right now. That little baby wants to be awake, wide-eyed, at 3 a.m. It's about itself. And from that point, humanity starts and it continues. As we grow, as we get older, left to ourselves, we don't change. We are about self-love. We think about ourselves often. What makes me happy? That's how we work. What makes me happy? Not only in the context of what makes me happy, but there's also a sense of superficiality in every one of us. I mean, I know I seem like I've been bashing social media here for a while, but I'm not trying to just bash it per se. It has its perspectives that can be helpful, I think. But if you scroll through social media, whether it's Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or whatever, what do you think people are doing? They're trying to put out a perspective of themselves that they want you to see. And they want you to think of them a particular way. Now, some people may be more genuine than others in doing that. I'm not doubting that. I don't know everybody's heart. But a lot of what is put out on social media is superficial. Some months ago when I was checking Facebook just to check on a friend of mine that was in Birmingham who was ill and not doing well. I was trying to scroll down and find some information. As I went by all this stuff, I just got to thinking, wow, There's a lot of people posting stuff like daily or at least weekly, and they're just trying to get you to get some perspective of who they are and what they want to show you. And this is what we do in our lives. This is the easy way. This is the wide path. This is the broad path. It's just to walk around in superficiality. The context of it is that we live by our own inclinations. And our own inclinations are really about self-love, superficiality, and even hypocrisy. What one of us honestly could say we're not a hypocrite? Every single one of us. The wide path is a path of hypocrisy. We're often trying to say to people, this is who I am, or this is who I want you to think that I am. But often we're really not that person. Often we're really not that person. We are often a person who says one thing and does another. We're often a person who thinks one way so that people will look at us a certain way. But then in the back of our minds, we're thinking another way because it's not really what we want. The narrow path is the path that everybody is on. That's what makes it easy. The wide path is the one that everybody's on. That's what makes it easy. Why is it easy? Everybody's on it. I mean, how hard is it to go along with absolutely everything everyone is doing? It's not that hard. If this person's going to rant and rave about this, and this person's going to be upset about this, and that person's going to... Well, I can do that too. I'm capable. If this person's going to buy this or do this, well, I can do that too. If this person's going to think this way, it's easy to think this way because we hear it so much. Oftentimes, through the years, we as adults have talked to teenagers about not following the crowd. You remember your parents saying that to you, you adults? Maybe some of you teenagers and young people, or maybe your parents said that to you, I don't know. I remember as a teenager hearing that. My mom and dad, now don't follow the crowd. If all your friends jumped off a bridge, would you jump off too? Now why? Yeah, somebody's going, yeah, I would. Sometimes we did. We jumped off that bridge of stupidity with our friends. We all held hands together and said, we're stupid. Bah! We did it. But why did we do it? Because it was easy. It was the broad path. Sin is a part of our very nature. We've been conceived in sin from our mother's womb. We've been that person who lived in sin. It comes natural to us, so it's really easy. It's so easy that it's really, really, really difficult to do anything else but go down that path. If you think about Christianity is so different from everything else in culture. True, genuine, biblical Christianity. And you can understand why it's very difficult for people to see Christianity rightly taught and rightly understood. Because everything else around them is this broad path, and it screams and yells all it wants to all the time. And that's all people think about. And I'm talking about all types of things. Not politics. I'm talking about just thinking in general. I mean, you've stood in line for a ride at Six Flags or Disney World or something, somewhere, some state fair. And you just watch people meander through that line. And they're all going to this one ride. Sometimes it's a ride that just scares the living bejeebers out of you, and you still just get in line for it. Yes, that's, yeah, let's go. Woo, here we go. Wah! And then we get off of it, and we say, oh, that was fun. And then we watch people over here who their stomach's upset, and yeah, it was great. That was really wonderful. The context of this is to get us to see it's so easy to keep walking this path. It takes almost little to no effort. Just keep going the same direction you're going. Just keep thinking the same things you're thinking. You can stay right on this broad path. The other path the Lord Jesus speaks of, the gate and the path, is God's way. There's a difference. There's man's way and there's God's way. God's way is narrow. It's single file, it's not easily found, and it's eternally costly. The broad road, it's seemingly free, but the narrow path is eternally costly. The Lord Jesus is reminding all of his hearers. Think about what he said to them about being poor in spirit in the Beatitudes. The poor in spirit person is not the idea of somebody being impoverished in their own spirit in the sense of not having any spirit. The poor in spirit is the person who's humiliated according to understanding their sin. They've been humbled before God. That's a pretty narrow path. There's not many people that are truly humbled before God because of their sin. It's a really easy path to follow, like the Pharisees, when the Pharisees look at life and say, well, I'll just physically do these commandments the way I want, and then if I do them that way, I can say that I've never sinned. Why do you think Jesus had to say, if you've hated a person in your heart, then you've committed murder? Why? Because there was teaching going on. Somebody was saying, you know what? I've never physically murdered anybody, so I've kept the law. And Jesus is trying to explain to them, no, you haven't kept the law. If you've ever hated someone in your heart, you've committed murder. The broad path says, hey, you know what? I'm a pretty good person, especially when I compare myself to all these other people. But you see what Jesus is doing with the imagery is he's saying, if you're saying that you think you're a pretty good person because you think you've lived the law rightly because you never physically did a particular sin, and you're saying you're pretty good compared to all these people, the problem is, you're on the same path that they're on. It's the broad path. Jesus wanted all these religious individuals, Pharisees, Sadducees, the scribes, those who followed them meticulously, he wanted them to see, you're still on the broad path. Because you're thinking that you, in and of yourself, you are living the law in right context. You are doing this thing, and therefore you think you're just as good or better than other people, and God will accept you based on what you've done. But you're all on the broad path when you think that way. Jesus wants them to see that God's way is narrow. It's not easily found. He says, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Have you noted that there's a problem between the two different paths and the context of how people view them? On the broad path, people think they've already found something and they're all good. The narrow path, the Lord Jesus says there are few who find it. The problem with those on the narrow path is they're not really looking to find the right things. They just think in and of themselves they're already decent enough. It doesn't take very long to speak to people in our communities and our culture to realize that most people think they're basically good. None of them will claim to be perfect. No, no, you ask them that question, oh, no, no, I'm not perfect. At least nobody I've talked to. There's probably somebody out there, I would imagine. But they, oh, no, no, I'm not perfect. But what do they basically do? They say, I'm a pretty decent person, though. And I'm certainly not as bad as that person. Or, I've been a lot worse. I'm better now than I was. And they go on to explain how they've become better in and of themselves. The Lord Jesus says this is just another way of the narrow road, of the broad road. The broad road is so easy because we just walk around looking at things, thinking we've already found something when we found nothing, because we've stayed right in all of those things that we've always been in. Left to ourselves, we're just as superficial as we've always been. God's way, though, it's not easily found. Well, Jesus spoke of two different ends and conclusions. He spoke of two different gates and paths, and he spoke of two different ends and conclusions. He says, the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. He says, the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. It's two different ends and conclusions. A lot of times the church has really become very, very weak on discussing the reality of the condemnation of sins and the judgment of our sins and the wrath of God. But you understand when Jesus uses the imagery of the broad road leading to destruction, the broad path leading to destruction. Destruction is the idea of the condemnation and judgment and wrath of God upon the sins of men and women and children. How many people talk about love today? That we hear it all the time. It's plastered over every thing that we can read on the internet. It's put all over our TV screens. It's everywhere. That love, 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 love. But you have to love a certain way. And you have to love in a certain context. And you have to love a certain people. Because if you don't love this person or that person, or you don't love the way they live their life, or you don't agree with them, then you don't love them. But yet there's never any understanding of real, genuine justice. The Lord Jesus is painting a very, very vivid picture. The broad road leads to destruction. There will be a day that Christ will come and he will judge rightly. He's literally, as one of our men said after Bible study, he's literally going to return. He's going to come right into this place in time, whatever day it is, and he will show up. and he will judge with the very wrath of God mankind. Sadly, we live in a world that doesn't want to deal with that truth. It wants to talk a whole lot about love. And it wants to talk about justice in its own perspective. But it never wants to admit that God has a right in his true holiness to judge every single created person of all time, space, and history. Not only does he have that right, but he will do it. If we would talk a little more thoughtfully about this conclusion of destruction, it would not only help us to articulate important things to the culture around us, but it would get us to think about our own souls. One of the things that helps the believer continue to strive in sanctification is understanding that there is a broad road that leads to destruction. Even in our own churches across America, we've forgotten this doctrine. We don't discuss it. We don't talk about it rightly because all we want to talk about is the word love. Now, I'm not against the word love. God is love, as the scripture says, and all kinds of people who are not Christians can quote that to you. But God is also just. He is holy. He is righteous. And he will bring forth his wrath, ultimately, to bring a reckoning to the whole of this creation, this whole cosmos. The broad path leads to destruction. The predominant setting of the book of Revelation is to give us a context to understand Christ's return. It gives us symbolism and imagery to gain a picture. It's not to be looked at in literal sense, but it is to be understood, even though not in literal sense, it is to be understood in the context of Christ's return. I ask you this morning, if you profess faith in Christ, do you really believe the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return? And you will see him face to face? Do you believe you will meet him? And you will be standing before him in the light of his glory. If it be so, then you need to think about that in your sanctification. Growing in Christ means growing in our understanding of that our sin is truly, truly wretched before God. The Lord Jesus says the narrow gate, the narrow way, it leads to life. Thankfully, he doesn't leave people without some context to see the glory of life. You know, we were never intended in the context of this world for death to be what we had all of the time. But it is what we have. You realize that, right? There's lots of things that come and go in our lives, but there's one certainty, and death is that certainty. But death, you recognize, is a consequence. It's a consequence of who we are as sinners. Death was meted out as a punishment. The hope for Adam and Eve was life. They were given opportunity for life. Everybody wants to talk about free will. Adam and Eve had free will. They were given that right there in the garden. God said, here it is, enjoy it. Take of all these things, love, enjoy, have peace, walk and commune with me. But here's my law. You can eat of all these other things, but this one tree. And if you eat of it, you will surely die. Which means, implicitly, if you don't eat of it, then you'll surely what? Have life. Adam and Eve began that broad road. The second they ate of that fruit, Adam and Eve took away that blessing of life. For every human in the human race after Adam and Eve sinned was condemned in their sin, and the consequence is death. It doesn't matter what your philosophy is. It doesn't matter what your politics are. It doesn't matter what you think about Western medicine or doctors. It doesn't matter if you're a health guru. It doesn't matter if you take supplements out your wazoo. It doesn't matter if you drink certain types of mud or you only drink certain types of coffee. It doesn't matter what you do. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your thoughts about life are. I don't care what you think you know. I don't even care what you think you want to know. There's one fact. You and I are going to die. And we're going to die because Adam and Eve, our representatives, they ate of that tree and they broke God's law. And they said to God, you know what? We know better than you do. We'll take the serpent's lie. And from that day forward, the broad road was on. Jesus is saying plainly, you must understand that there is only one path. It's the narrow path which leads to life. Now in later teaching, he goes on to plainly tell who he is, and he is that life. I am the way, the truth, the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. But Jesus is putting a perspective before his disciples to say, you need to understand. All bets are off. I'm telling you the truth. There's two paths. And I have laid these paths out before you. And you must look at them rightly. If you are my disciple, then you will see these paths for what they are, and you will even see that understanding that the road to destruction is a teachable moment for you to grow in that truth which you've been taught. If you are not my disciple and you continue to try to base your life on what you think you are and who you think you are and trying to say, I can do this, I'm a decent person, I'm nice, I help old ladies, I'm sweet to my mommy three times a week, I'm this, I'm that, then you've misunderstood all of this. Jesus is saying, all of us are sinners. We have sinned against God, and we will continue to walk down the broad path because we don't see ourselves rightly. And we are in need of God to change us. I want to leave you with just a few observations this morning. The wide and easiest way is often filled with fluff. Do you really see the culture for what it is? Do you really look around and see the culture for what it is? You realize, true, we can be in the world but not of the world, and that's the commandment. But when you're in the world, do you really see the culture for what it is? You do realize everybody in this world predominantly is out for themselves. I don't care if it's Biden or Trump, Obama or Bush, my favorite president, Ronald Reagan, you know, he was out for himself. I don't care what football team it is, what football coach it is. I don't care what books you're reading. I don't care what TV show you're watching. I don't care about any of that. I don't care who you're following on YouTube or social media or what. You realize they're out for themselves. And that's the broad path. And it's filled with a bunch of fluff. Because they're all trying to tell you, we're going to make you have a happier life. There is no happy life apart from understanding who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Period. Period. Secondly, the easiest way is often obscured by blind curves. Some of your versions will note not just in this text, but in other texts and teachings of the Lord Jesus, that the narrow way is straight, which would mean that the broad way is curved. If you got a big, wide bend in the river, and everybody's on it together, you're not really worried about the curves, because everybody's on it. I'll certainly see if there's a waterfall up there, won't I? You're not really worried. The world just kind of goes on down the wide path. Even though it winds and it bends and it moves around, you have to understand the world lives in obscurity. This narrow gate is straight. This narrow path is straight. The world wants to obscure that which is truth. The world wants to show you what it thinks is it is true. The world wants to grow you in ways that lead you to their truth. But it's only the broad road. Start looking through culture, seeing it for what it is. Find the places that maybe you're still following that broad path. Thirdly, the narrow way includes the only straight path. And fourthly, the narrow way includes the ease of the yoke of Christ. You know what's strange? The broad path is easy because everybody's already on it. But although it's easy, it has no ease. Although it's easy, it has no ease. Because what's at the end of it is destruction. Destruction is hardship. Destruction is death. Destruction is the wrath of God. And the wrath of God will not be easy to endure. Yet it was Christ who endured the wrath of God on the cross, didn't he? It's the narrow gate that has ease because Christ paid the price. He paid the penalty. He paid the debt of sin. It's Christ who actually bore the wrath of God on himself. That's how he can say that his yoke is easy. His burden is light. The narrow way is the only way. Is the only way to have life. The culture wants to tell you that there's lots of paths to peace. The culture wants to tell you that there's lots of ways that you can have peace on this earth. And the scripture says there's only one. There's only one. If we don't watch out, we're going to get caught up in the broad path. Everybody wants love. Don't you want love and peace? I want love and peace. World peace, even. I'm with all the pageant winners. I want world peace. But how am I going to have peace? The world doesn't look any more peaceful today. The only way to have peace is in Christ. Stop looking to yourself. Stop thinking that you can do something better. Stop thinking that you can own something better. Cast yourself before Christ. Cast your burdens on Him. Turn to Him and repent. Don't walk in that broad road anymore. It leads to destruction. Look for that narrow gate. Carefully and thoughtfully, and turn to Christ. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you've been merciful to us. To show us in the truth of your word, there's not all these multiple ways. There's just two paths. And your Son, the Lord Jesus, taught us one leads to destruction and one leads to life. Lord, will you help us by the power of your Spirit to stop looking to ourselves? If there's one here today who continues to try to think they're a pretty decent person, if it be your will, would you give them a new heart that they wouldn't trust in themselves any longer? Or if it be your will, just to start their mind to thinking about the narrow path, asking questions. You give them a mind and heart to learn of your truth, that they would not be left to themselves. We are weak people and we have nothing in and of ourselves. We only glory in you. It's in the name of the Lord Jesus we pray. Amen.